Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
Jesus gives us power to rise up out of our sin, and he gives us power to walk forward from strength to strength, no longer living in our sin. That's the wonderful message of the gospel. It's a life-changing message. It brings life-transforming power.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his series, Jesus Encounters. Join us as Pastor Brian continues his teaching on John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, as he examines an encounter between Jesus and the helpless man. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
Jesus might be speaking something to us and telling us that this needs to change, or he doesn't want us to do that anymore, or he wants us to make a step in this direction. And oftentimes we kind of come back with that response of, well, I can't do that, Lord. You know, that's my problem. I can't do it. But listen, know this. When Jesus says to do it, you can do it, because he empowers us to do it. He gives us the ability that we don't naturally have. And just as he did it for this man then, he does it for people today. When you have an encounter with Jesus, the living Jesus, it results in life transformation. It results in immediate work taking place in one's life. So Jesus says to him, rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made well. He took up his bed and he walked. And that day was the Sabbath day. So, and again, this is one of the beautiful things that I want to stress about an encounter with the Lord. An encounter with Jesus always results in something beneficial for us immediately. There's an immediate result. Now, the results aren't always identical. Even as we go on in some of the stories, in some cases, the healing of Jesus, there's a little bit of a process that he takes a person through. Maybe you remember reading the story in Mark's gospel where Jesus, he heals a blind man. He spits and he forms some mud and he rubs it in the man's eyes. And then he asks him if he can see. And the man says, I see people like trees walking. And so then the Lord touched him again and brought complete and total sight to him. What that shows us is that when Jesus touches us, instantaneously something begins to happen, but sometimes it happens through a bit of a process rather than everything happening just that very instant. But in this case, it is instantaneous. Jesus says, rise, take up your bed and walk, and boom, the man stands up. Rise, takes up his bed, and he begins to walk. And this is because, as I said, Jesus empowers us to do what he commands us to do. And there's nothing that is beyond his power. There is nothing that is beyond his ability to deal with. There's nothing that he cannot empower us to overcome. There's nothing that he will not deliver us from if we want to be delivered. Yesterday we were at the beach, as we know now. And throughout the day for the event that we do there, we have a different guys kind of on a schedule, you know, to get up and share for a few minutes with the crowd, the audience that's there. And I was on the schedule twice, and then three or four other guys were on the schedule throughout the day. But in the morning, I got a text from a friend of mine, and he said, hey, I'm going to be down at the beach today. My family and I are going to come down. And immediately I thought, okay, if he's coming, I got to open up a space for him to share. So I sent him a text back and said, be ready to preach if you come. And so he sent me a thumbs up that he would be. So anyway, he came down. And I gave him one of the slots that I was going to teach in. And The reason I'm telling this story is an illustration of what I'm talking about here. The power of Jesus, when he gives the command, it brings results, it brings transformation. So anyway, as I introduced him to the crowd yesterday, I started by talking about the argument in the culture about, you know, science versus religion and how religion and science are incompatible. And of course, science is right and religion is generally wrong, and religion is unscientific. You know, we hear this all the time. And my contention is that no, actually, if you think about science in the sense of experimentation and empirical evidence and things like that, you can build a strong scientific case for the validity of the Christian message. And the reason I say that is because if scientific evidence is based upon, you know, repeated experiments and things that you can see as a result, well, we can look at millions of people whose lives, we can analyze their lives. We can do an experiment. We can look at millions of people whose lives have been transformed by one thing, putting their faith in Jesus. So to me, that's kind of like a scientific experiment. So anyway, as I was introducing my friend David, I said, so David is, to me, he's living scientific proof that there is a God. And so I asked him, I said, hey, in 10 minutes, just give us a quick version of your story. And so he did. And here's his story in a nutshell. And it relates to the story of this man here because it's a command from the Lord, and then we see the result. So his story is, at the age of 21, he is in prison. He's been in prison several times. He's back in the three strikes, you're out thing. He's in the second strike. And from the time he's 10 years old, he's now 21, he's been addicted to heroin. And so he's in prison. And he tells a story. I've heard this story many times. It's a great story. But he tells the story of a man who's in prison with him who keeps sharing the gospel with him. And he just more or less sort of laughs it off and dismisses it and says, man, you sound like my mother. You know, you sound like, you know, other people. I don't believe in God. I don't care. I don't want to hear it. And so the guy says to him, he says, okay, I'm never going to talk to you about this again. And that sort of got him. He's like, well, why not? He said, well, you know, I've told you everything you needed to know, and you obviously don't have any interest, so I'm not going to tell you anymore. He said, but I'm going to ask you one last question. If you could ask God to do anything for you, and he would do it, what would you ask him to do? And he thought about it for a minute, and he said, if God could take away this drug addiction, that's what I would ask. And the guy says, really? So that's it. If God could take away your drug addiction, then you would believe in him, you would follow him. He said to the man, he said, you know what? If you could take away my drug addiction, I would believe in you and follow you. And so the guy says, okay, well, that's it. What do you got to lose? So he went back to his cell, sat down on his bunk. He sat there and he said, God, if you're real, like this guy is telling me, like my mom thinks you are, if you're real, then I ask you to take away this drug addiction. And if you do, I will serve you the rest of my life. And if you don't, I never want to hear your name again. And he fell asleep and he woke up in the morning. And to this day, he's never touched a drug again. And now he's a pastor. And he, you know, has a ministry to people, you know, where he had been previously and all of that. But I look at that, and my point in telling that story is that it correlates with this same kind of a thing here. The thing that he could never do was he couldn't break the drug addiction. And even though he's a drug addict, deep down, if he could, if there was anything, that's what he would want to be freed from. But he couldn't free himself. And no man could free him. He'd been through all of the different programs that were available, as well as the disciplinary action of being in prison. But none of this could break that. But the moment he cried out to Jesus, that power was broken over his life. And just like this man, in a sense, he rose, stood to his feet, and he walked. And that's what happens, my friends, when we encounter the Savior. He speaks that word to us, and as we respond to that word, he gives us the power. So if you're here today, and maybe there's something in your life that you just cannot overcome, and no man has been able to help you. Maybe you've been through programs. Maybe you've been through therapies. Maybe you've been through counseling sessions. Maybe you've been through rehab. Maybe you've been through prison. Maybe, you know, all of those things, but this thing still has a hold of you. You see, the truth is, just like the water in the pool was really never going to heal this man, the truth is those things can't ever really do what needs to be done, because our problems are not merely physical or emotional problems. Our problems are essentially spiritual. And until we are healed in the deepest part of our being, which is our spirit, then we have no deliverance. But this is what happens with this man. And as we just kind of quickly follow through the story here, the man takes up his bed, he walks, and notice that John tells us, and that was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore, and the Jews are a reference to the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem, the Jews therefore said to him who was cured, "It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed." He answered them, "He who made me well said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" Think about this for a moment, though. This is so often, this is religion. Here's the guy, and undoubtedly he was recognized, and they see this man, and they see that he's walking, and he's carrying his bed. And, you know, some of them might have thought, "Hey, isn't that the guy at the pool that's been there all of these years? And what's he doing? He's walking." But that's not their response. They look at him and say, "What's he doing? He's walking. He's breaking the Sabbath." They're not amazed at the miracle that he's walking. They're angry that he's violating the Sabbath. This is how twisted so often religion can become. But as they asked him, "Who is the man who said this to you? Take up your bed and walk." He said, or John tells us, verse 13, "But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, 'See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you.' And the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well." So Jesus heals him. He encounters the religious leaders. Jesus withdraws. Jesus comes back. And notice what he says. He says, "You've been made well. Go and sin no more." So you see, this is where we see the link between his affliction and sin. It was some sin that he was engaged in that brought him into this crippled state. But the Lord heals him. And that's what God does. Because, you know, sin cripples us. If you're crippled in your life, if you're crippled emotionally, mentally, if you're crippled in relationships, if you're crippled in the sense that you're just absolutely dysfunctional and you just can't make it through life, well, you know how you got there? Sin got you there. That's what sin does. It cripples us. But Jesus heals us from that. But then he instructs us to go and to sin no more. To go and to sin no more. This is what God is in the business of doing. He's in the business of restoring lives. Broken lives. He takes them and he repairs them. And we can never forget that. And we can never forget it for ourselves, but we can't forget it for our family members. We can't forget it for our friends that maybe we're disconnected from right now, but, you know, because of that situation that they might be in. But we can't lose sight of that. But sometimes we forget. And sometimes, unlike Jesus, we want to withdraw ourselves from the blind and the lame and the paralyzed. We don't want to find ourselves hanging around at the pool of Bethesda because it's not a pleasant situation. We want to get ourselves away so often from the broken, sinful people. But we have to remember that those are the very people that Jesus came to save. And, you know, in the end of the day, everybody is, to some degree or another, in this kind of a condition. It doesn't always manifest itself in the same way. Here's a unique situation here. But in the end, whether, as we saw before, you're a person like Nicodemus, who outwardly everything is fantastic, you're one of the great religious figures of the day, but it was all the same in the end. And so the gospel brings the answer, and with it the instruction, go and sin no more. Jesus gives us power to rise up out of our sin, and he gives us power to walk forward from strength to strength, no longer living in our sin. That's the wonderful message of the gospel. It's a life-changing message. It brings life-transforming power. It's an encounter, as we're talking about, with God himself, the God who made us, and the God who loves us, and the God who died to save us and rose again from the dead, and the God who speaks a word like rise, take up your bed and walk, and with that word gives us the power to do it. So Jesus, this same Jesus, he's here today for the blind, for the lame, for the paralyzed. And like I said a moment ago, if that is you yourself, if you sit here and you're identifying with this person, then he's here for you. If that's somebody that you know, that you've maybe lost hope for, be encouraged today that they are not beyond the reach of God. And remember, part of our objective in going through the series here is to stir our hearts with confidence in the Lord and the gospel to cause us to reach out to others. Again, I refer back to the events yesterday down at the beach. You know, the area that we were at yesterday, we meet at this like sort of an amphitheater thing on the north side of the Huntington Beach Pier. And that has become a sort of a hangout for the kind of guys I was describing earlier that I don't like to call homeless, but, you know, the guys who live down there at the beach. And I'm down there pretty regularly during the week, early in the mornings running. And I see them down there and they're, you know, they're fighting each other and cussing each other out and causing all kinds of trouble, you know, 7 o'clock in the morning. And it's become sort of a hangout for that group of guys that are just sort of traveling up and down the coast and living that kind of a life. But you know, yesterday, as we were there, I saw a few of those guys sitting in the crowd. And when the gospel was shared and when the invitations were given, I saw a number of them raise their hand in response to the invitations to receive Christ. And if they were sincere, then that instant, that moment, Jesus met them with this power to set them free. And so let's not forget, there's nobody out there. You know, you might have a friend or a loved one, a family member in a place like that. I can think in my mind of people that I know that are in this kind of a place where they're lame. And they've tried all of the different remedies to the problem. Nothing has been able to help. There's still hope because they can still, in just that instant, they can still open their hearts to Christ. And so let's pray that they do. Let's continue to hold out that message to those that there is hope and deliverance in the gospel. But I want to bring it back to home, to us. If you are in that place, like this man, then the question is, would you be made whole? Are you ready to do what Jesus says? Are you ready to turn from that thing or those things and just obey him? Are you ready to rise up and walk and to walk forward in a life of obedience to God? If you're ready to do that, then his power is here to meet you, to enable you to do that. Somebody asked me between services today, what's the difference between can't and won't? What's the difference? There are people who say, I can't do it. Well, a person who says, I can't do it is expressing their inability, their weakness. They're not necessarily saying that they won't do it. They're just, they can't see in themselves any ability to do it. A person who won't do it, that's a different story. That's a decision of the will. It's not a matter of I can't do it. It's a matter of I won't do it. Even if I could do it, I wouldn't do it. And of course, for that person, for the person who says I won't do it, there isn't any solution. But for the person who says I can't do it, Jesus says you can do it. Because I will give you the power to do it. Rise and walk. Rise and walk. And like I said, God will raise you up out of the situation you're in. And as you rise and walk, and as you keep moving forward, and as you walk in obedience, you're going to find that transformation will take place in your life. You're going to find that where your life was once a waste, now it is a blessing. Where it was once barren and fruitless, now it's fruitful. You know, I'll just refer finally again back to my friend David. As I'm looking at him yesterday, and I'm looking at his beautiful wife, his three beautiful kids, and I'm looking at this life that is just fruitful, and it's blessed, and it's restored, and it's healed, and it's almost to the point that you would never guess unless he told you that that previous life was even his own experience. And I know that there are some in this room, you have the same story. You have the same, not identical story, but a similar testimony. And it happened because of that word from Jesus, rise and walk. And you just responded to that. And as you're walking in obedience with him, your life is being healed and blessed and restored and becoming fruitful. And you have become a blessing. You know, these guys were a menace to society. They've become a blessing to society. That's what Jesus does. And so, wherever you find yourself today, in any kind of blindness, lameness, paralysis, spiritual sickness, Jesus has a word. Rise.
For the month of February, Back to Basics Radio is offering a book titled, Why Grace Changes Everything by Chuck Smith. Grace, it's a word we all love to hear, but do we really know what this word means? Without it, our lives can be dry and dusty. But when grace comes, it transforms our lives into something rich and beautiful. In this deeply relational book, noted Bible teacher Chuck Smith explores 12 great themes of God's unending, beautiful grace. With the passion of a man whose own life has been transformed by this gift, Pastor Chuck clearly explains that we are not bound to God by a huge list of do's and don'ts, and that our mistakes will never alienate us from God. But rather, our relationship with God isn't based upon our own efforts, but it's based solely on His unchanging love for us. We encourage you to call us right now at 0208-466-5365 or visit us online at backtobasicsradio.com to discover why Grace Changes Everything by Chuck Smith. And when you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you this book as our way to say thank you. We really do appreciate your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you by dialing 0208-466-5365 or by writing us at Back to Basics Radio, P.O. Box 647, Bromley, Kent, BR14WQ. We'll continue next time with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we continue our series, Jesus Encounters. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.